The Buddha has also pointed out that we cannot attain Nibbana by relying on mundane merits. Such merits are important only to give us temporary worldly pleasures in the mundane world. But such merits do not necessarily increase our spiritual progress on the way to Nibbana. The path that the Buddha discovered which leads to Nibbana is known as the Eightfold Noble Path. This path is simply a noble way of living. This path is known as morality, concentration, and wisdom. First, we must try to practice morality. We have to keep away from evil practices and do some good deeds. We must develop the virtues to attain perfection. We must try to cultivate our humane qualities such as kindness, tolerance, patience, understanding, generosity, and honesty. Whether we are educated or not, whether we have a religion or not, still we have animal nature in us. Religious discipline or ethical way of life is the only solution to control the animal nature of the man. Otherwise, man will become a very dangerous animal. Therefore, the purpose of the Buddhist way of life is to develop our moral background, to develop our self-discipline. Developing our moral qualities takes us to the next stage of samadhi or mental culture and training. We must try to understand the nature of our mind, and we must try to free the mind from all the impurities, the bad, wicked, cruel, cunning, and dangerous thoughts that are in the mind. To understand the mind and to purify the mind, meditation is the only method introduced by the Buddha. Through the practice of meditation, we will be able to remove all our human weaknesses one by one. These human weaknesses or impurities are the hindrances to our perfection, to our spiritual development. Because of these weaknesses, we suffer in this world and we create troubles for ourselves and for others. The impurities also prevent us from understanding the facts of our life. The Buddha says, "It is because both you and I did not understand the Four Noble Truths that we have run this long, weary course of rounds of existence, samsara, birth and death." Through meditation, we must also try to cultivate all the good thoughts that appear in our mind. By developing the good thoughts and eliminating that bad thoughts, we can gradually purify the mind. The valuable human life will be wasted if we could not manage to purify our mind. When the mind is totally purified, then we can experience Nibbana. At the moment, we are not free from these defilements. Then how can we gain real happiness? We can see how people suffer in this world, but our strong mental forces of craving do not allow us to get rid of various kinds of sufferings, and we are bound to this world. We must try to be free from the three strong craving forces from our mind. These craving forces are craving for sensual pleasures, kama tanha, craving for existence or self-preservation, bhava tanha, and craving for non-existence or desire not to become, vibhava tanha. When we are completely free from these cravings, then only we can attain Nibbana. Some people argue, Buddhism advises people to get rid of desire to attain Nirvana. At the same time, encourages people to desire for Nirvana. But this argument is wrong, because if there is desire for Nirvana, without preparing for that, it will become vibhava tanha, craving for immaterial form. If he has really prepared for Nirvana, then the desire for Nirvana disappears from his mind. To attain Nibbana, we must also develop our mind to understand the real nature of the life and the world. If we cannot understand that properly, we are not in a position to appreciate Nibbana. Do you think that we human beings are really having a peaceful, happy and satisfied life here in this world? No. We continue to suffer, continue to be attached to the worldly pleasures, because we are ignorant of the real nature of the life and the world. We are like certain animals who run after a mirage to quench their thirst. Our ignorance makes us chase after the mirage of life. Those who have realized the real nature of worldly things have advised us to be wise and to act carefully and to think properly. Then we also will be able to realize the truth. And then we can try to adjust ourselves in order to face the problems and to find security, peace, and real happiness. That is Nibbana, the final goal of our life. To attain Nibbana, we must detach ourselves from our worldly gains. The Buddha once said, one is the path that leads to worldly gain, and another path that leads to Nibbana. Many people are crazy to have material gains. They judge human progress in a materialistic manner. But they have not realized what sort of method people adopt to gain these material requirements. Many people adopt very cunning, cruel, crooked, wicked, and indecent method to achieve their worldly end. That is why there is always fear, insecurity, unhappiness, and suspicion prevailing in the man's mind. If the man's mind and heart are not free from these bad elements, where is the progress and where is the happiness? And without man's progress, how can we expect worldly progress? Which is more important, the happiness with a free mind or worldly gain through wicked methods? If people want to enjoy the worldly life and to indulge their senses, they also must be prepared to pay the price in terms of pain and unpleasantness and bitterness of life. On the other hand, those who want to find the real peace and happiness follow the path introduced by the Buddha. To attain Nibbana, we must pass through four stages. These stages are known as the stages of sainthood. Those who reach these stages are the saint. These stages are attained through constant work in purifying the mind of all the defilements or mental impurities. Those who attain these stages are like the people who manage to get rid of mental sicknesses after taking the proper medicines. These stages are called Sotapanna or Stream Winner, Sakadagami or Once Returner, Anagami or Never Returner, and Arahanta or Perfect One. Each stage is reached by freeing the mind from 10 fetters. The fetters are the bondages that tie us to this world. Because of these bondages, we have no real freedom, peace, or happiness in our life. So we must be wise. We must admit our weaknesses. We must not try to justify them. These weaknesses are harmful as long as we allow them to remain in our mind. When the weakness is held in our mind, we think wrongly, we speak wrongly, we act wrongly. The first stage is called Sotapanna or Stream Winner. One who has attained this stage comes to the correct path and does not go astray. But in our case, we who have not reached this first stage, occasionally we depart from the correct path. There are many things in this world which mislead us, blindfold us, and misguide us. And so we must have the correct knowledge to understand which is the right path and which is the wrong path. One who has attained the first stage of sainthood is in the proper path. If we cannot attain sainthood or arahantahood within this lifetime, then certainly he can do it within the limit of 7 births. This means that he will be born no more than 7 times in this world. Before that, he will get the chance to attain sainthood. During the period of 7 births, there is a guarantee that he will never go back to any lower form of existence for rebirth, such as animal or suffering state. But in others' case, there is no such guarantee until they reach the first stage. To attain the Sotapanna stage, we have to eradicate 3 kinds of fetters which exist in our mind. First one is Sakkaya Ditthi, a strong egoism in our mind which creates the idea of I, my, self. Sakkaya Ditthi creates delusion, personality belief, and the powerful craving for name and fame and publicity, as well as attachment towards our body, and also the belief that body and mind as myself. This idea of self is the cause of selfish motive. The second factor is vichikicca, a skeptical doubt or difficulty of understanding of truth. until we get a clear understanding of our religious beliefs and practices, it is not easy for us to make up our mind properly to carry on our religious duties. Therefore, it is important to clear our mind from this hindrance of understanding regarding the correct method to end suffering. The third factor is silabbata paramasa, practicing and believing in unnecessary rites and rituals. Most of these observances are self-mortifications and traditional religious customs which abuses human intelligence and are based on emotion and illusion. They are hindrances to spiritual development. They have no real religious value. The Buddha's advice is that we cannot attain our salvation through such practices and belief in certain superstitions. Many religious people get attached to such practices. It is difficult for unenlightened person to get rid of such practices. However, these three factors naturally can be seen amongst underdeveloped people. But after removing these three factors from the mind, it is impossible to mislead them. When we are free from these three factors, then we can go to the first stage. There we will be able to catch our first glimpse of Nibbana. We will be able to see Nibbana as a man who can see a golden vessel at night time through the aid of light that comes from a lightning flash. We will glimpse Nibbana for a moment from time to time. The second stage is Sakadagami, which means once returner. One who attains this stage will be reborn only once if he does not attain sainthood within that lifetime. To attain the second stage, we have to control our kamaraga and patigha, our craving for sensual pleasures and ill will. Since these two factors are very strong in our mind, it is not easy for us to eradicate them completely, but we can at least begin to control them. By controlling these patterns, we attain the second stage. Then we see Nibbana as a person who sees a golden vessel at night time through the light that comes from an oil lamp. The third stage is Anagami, which means never returner. One who attains this stage never again takes rebirth here in this world. If he cannot attain sainthood within this very lifetime, he will be born in one of the Brahma realms. In that Brahma realm, he can continue his meditation and attain Nibbana there itself. To attain the third stage, we have to completely eradicate sense desires and ill will. The same two factors which we could manage to control when we were in the second stage. The person who attains this third stage can see Nibbana as a person who sees a golden vessel through the moonlight. The final stage of sainthood is called arahanthood. To attain this stage, we have to eradicate five factors which hinder the spiritual path. These factors are ruparaga, or craving for fine material form, arupa raga, craving for immaterial existence or formless object, mana, pride, superiority, equality or inferiority complex, uddhaccha, restlessness or mental depression or mental itch, avidya, ignorance or spiritual blindness, false knowledge or misled knowledge. This is the cause of wrong identity and superstitions. This ignorance envelops the mind, cutting off the means of realization. Now, there are no more defilements whatsoever in that person's mind, and there is no more rebirth for him, because he has destroyed all the passions or fetters which are the conditions that create another life. He is a perfect, holy man. Now he can see and experience the Nibbanic bliss whenever he wants. His vision of Nibbana is perfectly clear. He is like a man who can see a golden vessel at daytime through the bright sun. What is this man who has realized Nirvana, the ultimate truth, purpose of life, final goal? He is the happiest being in this world. He is free from all the worries and troubles. His mental health is perfect. Nothing can provoke him. He appreciates and enjoys things in the purest sense without self-projection. He is joyful. He enjoys the pure life. His faculties pleased, free from anxiety, serene and peaceful. As he is free from selfish desire, hatred, ignorance, conceit, pride, and all such defilements, he is pure and gentle. He is full of universal love, compassion, kindness, sympathy, understanding, and tolerance. His service to others is of the purest, for he has no thought of self. He gains nothing, accumulates nothing, not even anything spiritual, because he is free from the illusions and self and the thirst for becoming. Such is the nature of a man who has attained Nirvana. Such a holy man is within you. You need only to develop yourself. The seed of perfection is within you. You must cultivate and nurture it. Those who are not interested in Nirvana can remain in this world facing birth and death and enormous suffering. But there is no guarantee regarding the fate of the future life of such people. They are subject to all sorts of sufferings, worries and disappointments. If they are wise, they can also attain Nirvana, where there is peace, happiness and freedom from all disturbances. The effort needed for such journey is our self-discipline, self-restraint and self-purification. This is why the Buddha once said, "The Buddhas can show you the path. You yourself must make the effort." And remember that this journey
to the further shore of Nirvana is the only journey worth making to fulfill the purpose of our life. One who has attained sainthood after eradicating all his evil thoughts and human weaknesses is like a well-tamed wild animal who is harmless. Those who had some experiences of getting rid of their certain burdens, worries, fear, insecurity, and physical and mental disturbances can understand that what sort of consolation, satisfaction, relief, and happiness they enjoy when the mind is cool, even for a short while. When we compare this temporary relief with permanent relief from all these disturbances, we can understand what a great bliss that we can gain by attaining Nibbana. Nibbana is the coolness that appears in the mind after removing burning defilement such as anger, jealousy, greed, and lust. The idea of eternal life within this samsara cycle of birth and death is to die forever. The great hope in life is the search for happiness. At whatever level of development man may stand, all religions, all political ideologies, all avenues of sensual pleasures are based on satisfying that search. The hope of heaven, paradise, Sukhavati or Nirvana is to escape from suffering and final happiness with its cessation. When the Buddha pointed out that everything in this universe is subject to impermanency, unsatisfactoriness, and impersonality as the three characteristics of the universal law, many people used to criticize him as a pessimistic teacher, but they could not understand that the Buddha has introduced this doctrine as a realistic teacher to show the real nature of the things. Some people say that we must follow the nature and should not try to control our desire and way of life. Therefore, we should not adopt certain religious principles and restraints in order to suppress our human emotion. In that case, we also should not try to overcome our sicknesses, worries, miseries, frustrations, misfortune, and certain other problems and difficulties, because they are also natural occurrences in our human life. When such difficulties arise, why do they grumble and try to get rid of them and try to maintain only pleasurable things? Are they not going against the nature? They must have courage to face pain and pressure without any distinction. But how many people are there in this world who can adopt that method? Life in this world is a big battle. Every religion teaches something better beyond this world. That is why the Buddha has said that life in the mundane world is subject to all sorts of disappointment and unsatisfactoriness. The only way to find the real satisfaction and peace is by attaining the supramundane state of perfection, which is called